Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Football. Nice. That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you start, put on my big boy pants. You put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan. I
want it all. Money, fast cars.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Monday. Thanks for being with us right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. It's not often we do 2 hours of a radio show on two topics, but that's how it's gone so far. So if you want to check the podcast, the whole first hour was on Game 1.
Yes.
Blazers and Thunder. And the whole second hour was on Tiger Woods winning the Masters, and it felt good.
So does the final hour just go Game of Thrones?
Is that how we're going to go here? We do have a ton of poll questions to answer as we wrap things up.
I had I tweeted on Saturday night, guys, this could happen, this could happen, and this could happen. And I was surprised. I just said it could happen. How many people were like, Sprague, you've nailed it so far? Like, people were like, Blazers won.
They did.
Tiger won.
And
I'm like, I didn't say they were. I said it could happen.
You didn't say tomorrow Tiger's going to win and the Blazers are going to win and this is going to happen in Game of Thrones.
I had hope that everything could happen, but like people were giving me props and I didn't know how to respond. I'm like, okay, thanks. Yeah.
It was an awesome day yesterday. We'll answer the poll questions on that, wrapping things up today. So this is, I've already started to prep my crow a little bit. I put some salt and pepper on it. I'm figuring out the ways I want to eat it just in case.
What was your crow on?
So I have dug my heels in that nothing's going to happen with Russell Wilson. They're going to reach an extension and nothing to see here, folks. He's a top five quarterback, and top five quarterbacks get the deals that they want.
Well, don't read Peter King is what I would say to you.
I did. So the deadline, if you remember, is today. Not only is it tax day, but it's Russell Wilson deadline day. Did you guys get your taxes done?
A while ago. I've had my money for weeks.
When do you you've already had your money for weeks?
I get my money like 4 days after I file.
Oh, you're like an immediate guy, huh?
Yeah, I don't pay a fee for it. It just hits my account early.
There you go. Well, it is tax day, so get your taxes done. But they want a deal done for Russell Wilson by tonight. Peter King, in his Football Morning in America column, had some notes on Russell Wilson. They're interesting.
Interesting.
So here's
if I'm a Seahawk fan, I'm panicking. This is me, Seahawk fan.
So here's, I'm just going to read this. This is the snippet, and then we can react to it, okay? He says, quote, but first, the deadline agent, Rodgers has given Seattle, today is a big day in the Pacific Northwest. If you take Wilson and Rodgers at their word, that according to sources close to the talks, they say they won't do a long-term deal with the Seahawks if it's not done by tonight. Read that sentence one more time. I didn't mean they'd put off further talks on a new contract until 2020. If it's not done by tonight, I meant Wilson and Rodgers don't plan to negotiate further with the Seahawks, period. My sources say they've told GM John Schneider that it has to be done now or not done at all.
Mm-hmm.
Are we buying this?
Yeah, I mean, it's Peter King, right? Like, is the guy 1,000% in his career as a journalist? No. Is he well-sourced, almost better than anybody except Schefter? Yeah.
So they don't get a deal done now, tonight.
Yes.
And they offer him the biggest contract for a quarterback in June.
He's go to $40 million a year.
He's going
to
say no to that deal.
Well, why else would he write this? I want to give him his fair credit because people like to crap on Peter King from time to time, and I just don't understand it. Like, this dude's incredibly well-sourced. He does his due diligence. My gut says he probably gets 3 or 4 people that source things before he feels comfortable putting it on paper.
I agree with all of that.
Okay, so with that being said, why would he write that if there isn't a shot that for them to agree on this? Now, I saw that Wilson's in the building.
He's there today. He's in Seattle. His agent's there as well.
And this is the deadline. It's 2 o'clock. Maybe they reach a deal in 3 hours and they announce this. But here is my gut reaction based on what we've seen. Russell Wilson, when guys are really good with the media or good to the media, you can tell. And you can tell by the reaction from said media when something bad happens or something like this happens, right? How many, if Aaron Rodgers throws a pick at the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl, what's Colin's opening segment? Do you think it's, you know, avoiding that topic, or do you think it's talking about Aaron Rodgers costing them a Super Bowl trophy? This is what being great and nice and cordial and just being Russell Wilson buys you. A lot of people are writing and talking about today how this is all the Seahawks' fault. Seahawks, they're to blame. They're to blame. They're to blame. They're to blame. People, maybe there is something to the Russell Wilson doesn't want to be in Seattle story and theory, which, by the way, Colin also said.
He did.
And we dismissed it because I, like you, was like, it's Russell Wilson. He's 30. He hasn't missed a game. You're not in the postseason. You're not sniffing the playoffs if Russell Wilson is not your quarterback. Remember Tavares Jackson? I do. It was garbage, and it was sub-500 garbage. So that's basically what you go back to. But I have found it very intriguing that this is being pinned on the Seahawks and not Russell Wilson whatsoever. And if I'm a Seahawk fan, I'm not allowing him to escape this criticism at all. In fact, I'm following this story, and if he ends up getting the tag and then he doesn't play ball all next year and it's going to be another year with the tag and then he's 32 and then they're like, all right, we can't tag you for a third year, and he walks, I don't know how a Seahawk fan just goes, shame on my team. Sometimes the player is telling you what he wants without actually saying a damn word. And right now at this moment as I'm talking, there is a part of me that believes Russell Wilson does not want to be a Seahawk anymore.
Yeah, the crazy thing about it is it sounds like he is willing to, I mean, his agent is a baseball agent. Mm-hmm. He is the only football player that is represented by Mark Rogers. That's the name of his agent. And that he is totally fine, and some think even willing and wanting to gamble on himself for the next three seasons and then hit the open market. So just for some context on that, a lot of people, when you throw around a contract for Russell Wilson, say he would get roughly $34 million a year, ballpark, that's kind of where people have said that's the type of deal it will take to get it done. If he doesn't sign that contract, they say he even turns him down, Seattle could get there and he could say no to that extension. And he plays over the next 3 years because he's got one more year left on his deal, and then he could be franchise tagged for back-to-back years if Seattle wants to go down that road. He would be making an average of $27.8 million. So if he turns down a Seattle extension, which we would think would be in the neighborhood of $34 million, he's sacrificing $7 million a year. And it's also a major gamble. One, that he stays healthy. Two, that he continues this level of play. And three, that teams are still willing in three off seasons to give a crazy level contract and a mega million-dollar contract to an NFL quarterback. Who knows what the NFL landscape's going to look like at that point? Who knows what the salary cap's going to look like? What the next collective bargaining agreement's going to look like? Like, this is a really interesting game of chicken that Seattle is trying to get this deal done. I know they are. But Russell Wilson also, it seems like, is totally fine just gambling on himself over the next 3 years and then just assumes he's going to get that deal at the age of 32.
See, and I don't think it's going to be three. I think it's going to be two with a tag. And then he potentially, if he's not negotiating, like, this is all predicated on what Peter King is saying. Okay. My opinion on this is based on King is right and this deadline passes and they don't reach a deal today, that he will no longer negotiate with the Seahawks. He'll just take tags until he's a free agent. Then I don't know how, as a Seahawk fan, you have any other opinion outside of Russell Wilson just didn't want to be in Seattle anymore. Whether that's New York or Miami or wherever the hell he wants to go, I don't know how you don't believe that. And the Seahawks, look, the Seahawks have not been perfect by any means the way they've treated some of their star players. You know, there's rumblings that he's always had a little bit of a grudge because they haven't, I guess, backed him a little better against some of the former Hawks, to which I just say, this is absolute garbage, dude. Yeah. Like, they have made you the face of the franchise. They called a pass play on the 1 yard line when they had one of the more physical running backs we've seen in the last 25 years. Don't tell me that they haven't backed you enough. They can't do anything about Richard Sherman leaking comments to the media Thomas feeling a certain way. That's out of their control. They've talked to all those players about it every time it's come out. What more do you want them to do? Just boot them off the team? That's where ego gets in the way a little bit here. But what I did read about Russell Wilson and his contract, and I thought this was really smart by him and his agent, they are not only looking at how much per year he gets, and not just looking at the future. They're looking at the landscape of sports in general when betting comes into place, because the cap is projected to raise in the NFL with betting substantially more. So they're looking at this of like, hey, pay me 42. This is just an example here. Pay me 42. That's gonna break all the news. Everybody's going to be, I can't believe he's worth it. And in 2 years when betting is in place and everybody's on board, including the NFL, 42 is going to look like what 35 or 36 is now. That's another thing that's out there is right. He is taking a smart approach to the future and saying betting is going to be far greater in importance and on the cap in the National Football League. Pay me now, and that will also equal into the future.
It's a really interesting story. How do you think this plays out? 55305 is the Better You Today text line. The deadline is tonight. Peter King reporting that if they don't reach an extension by the end of the day today, not only will Russell Wilson and his agent not negotiate with Seattle this season or next season, they'll never negotiate with him again. It is deadline by tonight or we are gone. How does this play out? It's really interesting. We'll get into that. Read some of your thoughts. Also, opening weekend of the NBA playoffs, is Kyle Lowry the worst playoff performer in the history of sports? That's next on The Fan. Hey, we'll get back into game one coming up bottom of the hour. Blazers and OKC. What'd you think of it? How does the series go from here? Got some poll questions to answer. A whole bunch still to get to. And we're talking about Russell Wilson. We'll get to the rest of the NBA playoffs here in a moment. Somebody texting in, Better You Today text line, some thoughts. Somebody said Russell Wilson is a baseball agent. That's why he's working this so smartly. Another one.
Baseball agents are struggling right now to get their max deals for their players. So
yeah, unless you're Machado or Harper. But yeah.
And I would say they've been upset by what the teams have been dealing them lately in baseball. It's like, oh.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of guys take controversial deals. Albies, the latest for the Braves.
Ozzie Albies, yeah.
7-year, $35 million deal, and everybody's like, what the hell are you doing?
He's hitting 300. He had a great game yesterday against the Mets. I still can't believe he's a Brave fan. He agreed to 7 years, $35 million. Yeah. That's robbery by Atlanta.
It absolutely is. Well, and the interesting part, somebody said, my problem with Russ is Crossroads, two similar legacies. It can be compared to Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. Win one or gamble every cent possible with a team. That one kind of got broke up. But win one or try and win multiple with the same team is what he's saying.
So take money versus don't take money? Is that the like basically what they're saying?
Basically, yeah.
I don't like that comparison necessarily because – I am one that 100% believes Tom Brady has an ownership stake and there is an account with money just being loaded.
There's something coming with it. I
100%. Yeah. I cannot be talked out of that. Conspiracy theory or idiot opinion. I don't care where you label it. I firmly believe that is why Tom Brady takes what he takes.
Well, the fun part too is when you get this deep into a deadline and two sides kind of not blinking right now and Russell Wilson saying, get me a deal by April 15th or I'm done. And now the stakes have been raised with this Peter King article, which of course comes out last night and everybody's talking about it today, like perfect timing. He knows exactly what he's doing, leaking that information to Peter King on the eve of the deadline. It's funny because it leads people down two roads. One, it makes people think either A, Russell Wilson no longer wants to be in Seattle and no matter what they offer him, he's not going to sign that deal. And he's kind of saying this stuff to not look like the bad guy. Or B, the other conclusion that people draw is that Seattle doesn't want Russell Wilson. They think they can win without him. And now they're actively thinking about trading him. And I've seen all sorts of rumors on that today, that he's going to get traded to the Giants and they're going to get the sixth pick and they're going to take a quarterback with the sixth pick. Like everybody's going down these two separate roads and somebody's going to blink eventually. We'll see where it is. But the deadline is tonight. And somebody said, Russ wants out. Fine. Get a King's ransom and pick. Start looking to draft his replacement. Good luck with that, man. Good luck with that.
I know.
I understand. Like,
there's a lot of people that do not value him, Dirt, the way that some of us do.
And I understand that. And maybe he is being so unrealistic with what he's asking for. You have to. Like, if the guy's asking for $43 million a year, there's going to be a line that I would draw as a GM of saying I wouldn't pay him that.
Sure.
But I think there's a good example right now in the NFL of a guy when he signed his deal, everybody was like, what are you doing? You have no help. How are you going to win with this? You know what that was? Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
When Andrew Luck signed his deal with the big time extension with the Colts, it was, I think at the time for whatever, probably a week, the largest contract for a quarterback. Everybody said, how can you win with this on the books? Guess what? They didn't really pay anybody else. They got rid of some of their bad deals. They've drafted extremely well, including last year, getting two franchise cornerstone guys on young deals. And they have a chance to compete at the highest level this year. They're not going to be everybody's Super Bowl pick, but they've proven you can have a quarterback make that much money and still build a talented roster around him. So we'll see how this thing goes, man. But tonight's the deadline, apparently, and we'll see if something gets done.
I was just going to ask you that.
Do you think a contract gets reached tonight?
Sometimes it's creepy that we say the same things at the exact same time.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
I hope I'm wrong, and I'm not a Seahawk fan. I hope I'm wrong. I say no. Does not get done. Where does it go from here?
Well, if you're believing Peter King and they don't get a deal done tonight, he's done. He's done in Seattle.
Well, that's the other thing, too. He kind of not backtracked from his report, but somebody had basically summed that up in a tweet and tagged Peter King says Russell Wilson is out if he doesn't get a deal today. And King was like, boy, that's a weird misinterpretation. And I thought,
no, it's not, Peter. That's exactly what you wrote.
That's how it reads, though, is like, okay, if they don't get a deal done, they're not negotiating a contract anymore, and this is it. He'll just take the tag for a couple years, and then he's out.
Doesn't mean he's traded tonight or tomorrow, but it means long-term he will not stay in Seattle because Peter King wrote, if he doesn't get a deal by the deadline, they're never going to negotiate with the Seahawks again.
Where do you go?
I think they get it done tonight.
I hope they do, but there's a part of me for the Seahawks fans that think that this is just... okay, we'll move on. No big deal. Okay. Good luck.
Good luck with that.
Good luck getting another quarterback and playing to the level of Russell Wilson.
I'm waiting for the joint statement from Russell Wilson and John Schneider that they've reached an agreement in principle, but Russell Wilson having a better understanding of some of the intricacies of their particular salary cap issues this season wants to allow them the opportunity to do some other things that will help something to that matter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You think that comes out today?
I think somewhere around, you know.
Everybody's waiting in Seattle.
5:39 p.m. yeah. tonight. If the team can convince Russell he's going to get his money, then in whatever fashion it may come, then they'll put out a statement. They'll agree to continue talking and table it. They'll have something. But that's really it. I mean, all this other, Russell just wants his money.
He wants out.
Yeah, I could be wrong on that. I just don't. I think he wants to be.
But that has to be a real consideration, doesn't it? Because if it's just about money, okay, maybe he's going far too high.
What I'll believe that is if there's a deal that isn't reached tonight, and then one of the sides will leak, likely Seattle.
If I'm Seattle, I leak out the highest I offer.
Hey, we offered him $38 million a year over 6 years, whatever the deal is.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I'm like, oh,
then you can't tell
me
at that point you don't think.
Yeah, if he turns that down, he doesn't want to be in Seattle because there's no other reasoning for it.
It's gonna be weird when he's an owner in Portland and no longer in Seattle. He flies his helicopter from New York.
I want him to get every penny he can, man. We need all the money we can use here in the Portland Diamond Project efforts. All right, go get paid, Russ.
You don't win a Super Bowl or get to a back-to-back Super Bowl without him.
No, you don't.
And that's a part that I think some Seahawks fans just... Again, I'm not a Seahawks fan, but...
It's a fact of life.
We see it on the text line. There are people like, not that great.
Go get somebody else. Quickly on the NBA playoffs. One, when did they become the Stanley Cup playoffs?
You mean unpredictability and upsets?
Yeah, because I didn't turn it on, but I'm following on Saturday. Should probably be the right word. I was following the outcome of some of these games. So Philly loses at home to Brooklyn, 111-102, in a game that Joel Embiid looked like an 80-year-old man. And
he shouldn't have played.
He was looking at a cell phone on the bench by Amir Johnson. That's against the rules. So they look terrible. Not to mention, they also got booed every time they touched the ball by their home crowd. So well done, Philly. So they lose 111-102. Then the next game, and I did watch briefly on this one because I realized how close it was. Orlando, shout out to all our Magic fan out there.
Yes, the Magic.
They went into Toronto and beat the Raptors 104-101. DJ Augustine hit a big three, even though Kawhi Leonard played well. And they get the upset win on the road. And then the nightcap was San Antonio winning in Denver. So a nice opening day of upsets. But it did get me thinking, have we ever seen a worse player in the playoffs than Kyle Lowry?
No. I will not hear. And people are texting T-Mac. I will not hear this.
He opened the playoff. He didn't score. He was 0-7 from the floor. He missed both free throws. He got to the foul line and missed two free throws.
Yeah. When he missed the free throws, by the way, the cringiness of that audience, that crowd, it was just like, oh, you're still this guy?
How does this happen? Again, against Orlando. And you have Kawhi Leonard with you, who had a good game.
I've seen too many Toronto Raptors games the last 4 years to be told otherwise that somebody's been worse in the postseason than him. Do you know he makes $33 million a year? Do you know that?
I did not know that.
He makes $6 million more a year than Damian Lillard.
That's incredible.
Now, he signed a three-year, $100 million deal, so that's the reason his salary is so high. Toronto was okay with that versus a longer-term deal.
Right.
Because, quite frankly, Masai doesn't want to lock him up for 5 or 6 years.
Because Kawhi could leave this offseason. You don't know where the team's going to go if he does leave.
It's an easy restart. You trade Lowry,
yeah,
and you restart around Pascal Siakam. That's a very easy move for them, and I think they could be right back in the playoffs next year with that team, and then you go from there. He is just so god-awful, and when he shoots, anytime he has the ball, you're nervous. T-Mac wasn't amazing in the postseason.
No, he was not.
I didn't have that feeling when I watched T-Mac. I've never had that feeling about any athlete that I've seen.
You're the 2 seed in the East. You have home court advantage, and you lost at home by the last second three, largely because he didn't score a point.
Even Tony Romo, I'd rather trot out there in a wild card game with Romo.
I think I would too.
Than Kyle Lowry as my point guard scoring 0 points in a game.
I think I would too. So 55305, has there been a worse playoff performer than him?
Let me ask you this real quick. Okay. I want you to be honest.
Okay.
Did you even know DJ Augustine was the point guard of the Magic?
No. No, I did not.
Okay. Most of America probably didn't either.
I do remember DJ Augustine, though. He's been around the league a long time.
And he outscored him by 25, including the go-ahead bucket.
The things I know about Orlando are, one, Terrence Ross. PIL, shout out.
Yep.
Aaron Gordon.
You're right.
Who I wanted the Blazers to trade CJ McCollum for.
He was really good defensively.
That's about it. That's about all I got.
What about Jonathan Isaac?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's the kid from Florida State, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't know a ton about him, but I know he's there. Vucevic. I know Vucevic.
Yeah, the All-Star center.
Shout out Orlando.
What about Evan Fournier?
That didn't do much for me.
And Mo Bamba. Foreplay on the court.
Mo Bamba didn't get in the lineup. I wanted to do the Mo Bamba. Quickly, before we get back into the Blazers, let me ask you this. It might be an obvious answer for all of us. Which of the teams that blew game one on their home floor, Philly, Toronto, Denver, is in the most trouble?
Oh, it's for sure Philly, because Embiid has a knee injury that he might miss game two, and he probably should miss the rest of this round, at least until they know where his health is.
Okay, so
and Ben Simmons can't score.
Yeah, it's the Sixers.
Okay. I went Denver.
Denver's in a fair bit of trouble.
Because everybody told them they were going to lose, and then they went out and lost.
Yeah.
Like, these two were surprises, maybe to some, myself included, but everybody's been making fun of Denver for a long time, and they went out and dropped game one at home. By the way, they had, like, the second-best home record in the NBA this year.
The Magic one, no chance I saw that coming. Brooklyn didn't shock me. The Philly one was like, okay, maybe not a great matchup, because Brett Brown was really onto that before their series started, and then Embiid's been dealing with the injury problems.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons didn't play. Like, he had a Kyle Lowry performance, and then he got mad at the fans for booing. By the way, on the phone thing, because we probably won't dive into that.
That'll be a tomorrow segment.
Well, does it need to be? Damian Lillard was on the phone the last game of the year on the sidelines.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, and he was active. He was checking a phone to see the standings.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is not like some crazy thing that's never happened before.
It's just the optics when you're losing a playoff game. And Embiid's being terrible, and he's hurt, and he's looking at a phone.
Okay.
And then he probably made up that story about Amir Johnson's daughter, because Amir Johnson didn't say that after the game when they asked why he used the phone.
Well, that's, if you're Amir Johnson, doesn't that upset you?
Right?
You said my daughter? Kid was sick?
And maybe he didn't lie, but I thought that was interesting. So good weekend in the NBA opening playoff matchups. Let's get back into the Blazers. They win game one. Has your opinion of the series changed after what you saw yesterday? How do we expect it to play out going forward? That is next. Well, game one yesterday, 12:30. What did people think, by the way, 55305, what did you make of the national broadcasters calling a Blazer game? Because he had the ABC crew, Mark Jackson, Van Gundy, Breen.
Bang!
Didn't do a ton for me, to be honest with you.
Well, were they good? Sometimes, I like that crew a lot, and they're one of my favorites, but
they're easily sidetracked. Like, Van Gundy threw one out because Lillard doesn't dribble, apparently, when he shoots free throws, so they went on this tangent about who else doesn't dribble before they shoot free throws.
But that's his thing, though.
I know
He's like a talk show host in the middle of play-by-play.
I know. There's something, too, though, like having a crew that is the crew in the NBA for the NBA Finals, right? I mean, that's the big crew. They haven't called a Blazer game all year. There's no way those guys have called a Blazer game this year.
Well, Van Gundy and Breen might have been here.
Maybe one of them.
I think Breen's been here two times.
But to have like the primetime Saturday treatment.
I think it also matters too if the teams playing are legit title contenders or guys they see more often, right? Like Breen's a New York Knicks guy. So if it's an East Coast team, he knows a little more about them. And then also, I don't think they look at Portland and go, title winning team versus when they called the Golden State game.
Sure.
it was energy and but a lot of that has to do with the team playing.
I don't know. I always figure at this point in the playoffs, they're gearing the broadcast more to the casual fan. That they're not gearing their broadcast towards me. So as long as it's not completely biased the way I thought McHale was on the Rockets call last night, if you listen to any bit of that, like he's begging them to come back or so it was.
No, I didn't watch much of
like,
that
oh
game.
Oh my goodness.
Because it was a blowout.
But other than that, I'm almost tuning them out to a certain extent. I mean, the sound's up because I want to get the sense of the crowd and what's going on. But
just enjoying the atmosphere.
But in the playoffs, I'm so into those by myself anyway. And
That's a fair way to look at it. I don't know who's on the call. They're on TNT tomorrow, so I don't know what their broadcast
I think
is,
it's Brian Anderson and Kevin McHale.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're back Anderson's on ESPN good. Friday night, so I'm trying to figure out.
Careful in case they're in town and they just happen to go, oh, and what sports radio's talking about?
What's up, Brian?
And
shout out.
Dirt just go, oh.
We've had Brian Anderson on the show, and you disrespected him, and he still liked us.
What did I disrespect him on?
We had him on, and you forgot about the interview until the interview happened. He was calling a Blazer game, and he called in, and then you started the interview by saying, I totally forgot we were doing this, but let's bring him on, Brian Anderson. And he played along the entire time. He was a really nice guy. Although he's incredibly biased as the Brewers play-by-play guy, and I'll tell him that if I ever see him.
No, you won't.
Yeah, he's the Brewers play-by-play dude.
But you'll tell him he's incredibly
he
biased?
He haunts it up. I can't stand those guys on the
Brewers
Did I
really call. Say that and he was cool with it?
Yeah. I figured he was going to go like total jerk mode and not give us anything, and he was cool.
Well, I think when you
He does a lot. He does NCAA tournament. He
does tournament
NBA.
Stuff for Turner, and he'll do MLB playoffs on TBS
he's
and stuff.
All over the place.
Does
he's a really
do
good
the Sunday morning game for TBS? Is that usually him? I think that's usually him.
Could be. I don't know. So he might be on the call tomorrow. Anyways, Blazers win 104-99. Enough on the broadcasters. We all went in with the same prediction. We were all out thinking outside the box. OKC in three, Blazers win game one.
OKC in three?
Or excuse me, OKC in six, Blazers win
the
game
record.
One. It's quick.
We don't even play four games. It's
dominant.
That bad.
They just waved the white flag. How much does the opinion of the series change for you after watching game one?
I think to say it doesn't change, I will not understand that thinking because Paul George's injury is serious. And until he proves it, maybe tomorrow, maybe game three, you have to think in the back of your mind, if you think Oklahoma City was winning this series, no Nurkic, Cantor's defensive liabilities, Collins and Myers, no trust there, the bench maybe being questionable, fine, I get it. But if you watched that game and you still walk away not thinking anything's changed, I don't follow that because Paul George showed us yesterday the shoulder is absolutely a problem. And until he goes out there and really lights up the scoreboard, it's hard for me not to see Portland having a legit shot to win this thing. And I don't say that just like snarky manner. I truly mean it after game two, if they can win this and maybe win it a little more convincing where they don't allow OKC to come back. Yeah, it's going to change my opinion a lot because Portland played with a big FU yesterday. It was a big to all the media, to all the local people upset, to all the national pundits who pick against them. There was a vibe around that team pregame, postgame, and during the game of screw this, we're going hard, and we're going to put a lot of pressure on you, and we're not backing down. Whereas like last year, they lost that tough game one, then they lost game two.
Yeah.
And without offending anybody out there, they kind of just got treated and manhandled like a bunch of sissies in New Orleans. And I didn't feel that yesterday, and that was different. And the defense was the most impressive thing I saw. So to ask me where I'm at on my prediction of OKC in six, I'll stick with it. But to suggest that I don't think otherwise, that's foolish because of that injury.
Right. Yeah, the way he looked. And if you missed it earlier, we talked about it. Paul George was at shoot-around today in Portland getting ready for tomorrow night's game, and he said that his shoulder is pain-free, to which everybody said, huh?
Like, he's got a big ice pack on his shoulder, too, by the way.
Are you talking about? Because we watched you yesterday, and that thing wasn't pain-free. It was, I think Dusty tweeted out, it was painful just to watch you shoot, so I know there's pain in your shoulder. Not buying that. That is the part, though, I think, moving forward. And we've talked a lot about it on Friday. Like, his shoulder injury is going to be the storyline of the series. If Paul George is that Paul George the rest of the way, and he's going 4 of 15 from 3 when he's really the only one that can be a reliable outside shooter for them, it's very difficult for them to win games. I think the interesting emotions that I have out of it are the positives that you just won, first off. Like, you just got that monkey off your back. Thank God we don't have to deal with that losing streak anymore. And you were able to kind of withstand the storm a little bit. You blew a 19-point lead. You had to hit some clutch shots late. Like, it, that thing came down to the wire. It was a one-point game with 2 minutes left, and Dame hit the big three-pointer to put him up by four. The negatives, though, to me are the everything that I just mentioned. Like, you played a good basketball game. You shot a good percentage. They were 44% from three. The performance from Cantor on the glass, like, there was a lot of positives out of it. And it was still a one-point game with 2 minutes left with OKC feeling like they didn't play anywhere near their best game.
Well, and I kept, because Marcus was at the game with me, and I kept talking to him. I remember the first quarter I turned and I said, dude, that feels like a mistake that you're only up 14.
Yeah.
It felt like they should have been up 30 the way Oklahoma City played and you shot the ball. And then Oklahoma City made that comeback, and I made another observation to him of, it felt like they always got it within four or five, and then Portland had a response.
Yeah.
And then when it got to one, this is where you need to give Portland credit. They could have been like, well, we've been here before, right? Right on we're on the doorstep of a win, and here they come. They're down one again. They did not wilt to that pressure. And Enes Kanter played really well. You give him all the credit for stepping up. As Dame called him the MVP yesterday, it's just a matter of, will OKC shoot that poorly? Because I'd imagine their defense is going to be the exact same as it was after the first quarter. And can Kanter continue that kind of production? I know he's kind of known as a double-double guy, and that's very fair label. But I'd imagine Billy Donovan and Russell Westbrook and Paul George, their MO is going to be, you get him in foul trouble and you get Myers and Zach in there. That game is completely different. As good as Dame and CJ have been, if Kanter is in foul trouble and cannot play, OKC is going to greatly benefit from that. And that is how you lose a game at home, is when you get Kanter in foul trouble. So my gut is game two is go at Enes Kanter.
Early and often. It's a chess match. That's the beauty of a seven-game series. We got some thoughts coming in from you guys. 55305 is better you today. Text them. We'll read some of those on the other side. Also, we got a whole bunch of poll questions we need to answer, including for those of you who enjoyed the trifecta yesterday, which of them did you enjoy the most? We'll answer the poll questions, wrap up the show on Blazers next on The Fam. Some days you just love coming into work. And with a job like this, it's most days.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But on a day like today, it's that feeling on steroids, man. Like, that's just, I love when you come in and have a day like this. It's an awesome weekend of sports. Blazers win, Tiger wins, all sorts of cool stuff going on. Like, we haven't even talked about really the other NBA playoff series, which I'm sure we'll get into more. I know it's not on everybody's radar, but what's happening to Tampa in the Stanley Cup playoffs is fascinating. They're down 3-0. They were the Golden State Warriors that won 73 games. Like, imagine Golden State winning 73 games that year and then falling down 3-0 to the Clippers.
Right.
Like, how, like,
oh, without my, Chris Paul.
Right. Or, like, yeah, just like how, and by the way, the team they're losing to, I didn't know this, Swagger told me, Columbus has never won a playoff series.
In their team history?
In their team history.
No, they've been to the playoffs five or six previous occasions, but they've always lost in the first round.
And they're going to get a sweep over the best team of all time?
That game's tomorrow. So what? Well, we got some more, some leftovers.
Columbus will be nuts tomorrow.
That's going to be an awesome
Our old friend TJ Ansley is
works
there.
Yeah. And Seth Jones. You got three former Winterhawks playing
Seth
on that team.
Seth Jones, Brandon Dubinsky, and Oliver Bjorkstrand.
So, I miss Dubinsky.
Yeah, a lot of good.
I know the other two names. I didn't know that guy.
Let's get to some thoughts quickly. Better You Today text line on the Blazers winning yesterday. Somebody said, quote, if Kanter is in foul trouble, Stotts can't put Collins in the game. He should be the last resort. Collins was god-awful yesterday, and the bench player for OKC abused him. The problem is, what's the alternative? There is not one. Myers Leonard is the alternative, and he didn't do much.
What do you think, Rodney? I guess my thing on the bench is they didn't play well. Can Rodney Hood and Curry give you more offensively?
Oh, sure they can, yeah. Somebody said they shifted PG3 to guard CJ and Dame. ET needs to take a small guard to the block and score double figures to win.
He had a couple moments where he took some guys down low that he had a mismatch on, but that was what, was it Brett Dawson or... Who was it? We had somebody on anyway to talk about that series. And I remember they had mentioned, don't be shocked. Oh, I think it was Windhorst. If they put PG on Dame or CJ. And they put PG on Dame a lot.
They did. Somebody said Blazers teams in the past would have collapsed, but they pushed back. That's true. That's a good sign to not collapse after blowing a 19-point lead. Somebody said it will be fun to see how the Blazers survive OKC's very best effort in game two. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, that's their season tomorrow.
It's a big game for OKC. You're feeling good now. Can you bring the same intensity? Tomorrow night's going to be a lot of fun. Somebody said, I got a feeling that they're going to lay an egg tomorrow. Wouldn't surprise me if they can't hit the broadside of a barn. Would be very Blazer-esque.
Well, they only had one quarter where they shot lights out.
Mm-hmm.
And other than Dame hitting a couple of 32-footers there to yeah. pull their butts out of the fire at the end.
That shot in the fourth late when they needed
that
it the most.
Awesome. Yeah, when they cut up. It to one and he just pulled up.
Westbrook was like, whoa, he shot that?
How yeah. cool was the opening one, too? First shot of the series.
Yeah, from the...
Or no, maybe did OKC... OKC might have got the ball
was right
first.
Off the
no,
tip.
He got Dame was the first one to score.
Tap,
3-0.
Pulled up from the O in Moda Center and drilled it.
Well, that was an awesome scene.
If you wanted to know what it's like when a team loses 10 straight playoff games, I think the energy and the volume of the crowd, the arena, summed it up rather well in that first quarter. It was like an explosion of, we're tired of this
yeah,
crap.
Yeah.
Win a game today. Now, I also think a big part of that, not to say tomorrow's crowd and energy is not going to be there. It's a playoff game. Of course it will. I thought an underrated part two was just the start time.
Saturday or Sunday at 12:30 was cool.
I think a lot of people were in on a brunch basketball game.
Yeah, absolutely. We should do more. Why doesn't the NBA do more of that? I guess it's during football season, so they don't want to compete. But why aren't there more of that with
like
football
on the weekends?
Yeah, why don't you play a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday?
It doesn't happen a ton, but
baseball does
you.
It. Like, what? I know baseball's outside, so maybe that's slightly
different.
But you're
not competing with the NFL anyway, so why? Why
well,
be
the NFL's done in February. Like, you have all February and March.
Yeah.
Like, throw me some Saturday 2 o'clock games. I would love that.
You get those Sunday ABC games in the regular season when they're at like 12:30.
That's true. I feel like they're usually the East Coast games, though.
But I enjoyed it. I thought that was a great time to play a basketball game. It was cool getting to the Moda Center at 10:20.
Yeah, and you're done. You're home by 5 o'clock.
Well, yeah, most people are home much earlier because they're not doing anything.
No, I'm a fan of that. By the way, a quick bit of breaking news before we answer the poll questions. This is just total shock out of left field. Zion Williamson is declared for the NBA draft.
I'm stunned.
Shocked by that one.
I'm borderline speechless.
It's a controversial decision. I don't know where he's going to get drafted or who wants him, but Zion is officially going to the
NBA. I think when RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish announced first, I thought, Zion Williamson's coming back.
He's
going to
stay.
He's not going to the NBA.
I was drinking beers with some buddies like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I had somebody try and tell me that he was, I heard rumors that he wants to win a national title. Like, he is not coming back for another year.
What if he would have, though? Where would that have ranked all time
would
of, like,
blown
what?
My mind. Would have blown my mind completely. All right, let's get to the poll question, shall we? We asked Blazers one game one, 104-99, ending the playoff drought, 1-0 series lead. How does it go from here? 58% of people said they win a close series. 8% now think the Blazers can roll on from here. I'm assuming that means winning 4 or 5. And then 34% of you still think Oklahoma City wins the series. We also asked, Tiger Woods won the Masters yesterday, ending his major drought, collecting his 15th major championship. Will he catch and or pass Jack's record of 18? 53% of you say no. 28% say yes, so pass it. And then 19% of you think he wins 3 more and ties it, ends in a tie with Jack.
A lot of it has to do with the courses he plays, what he's familiar with, and...
Health is a big deal. I mean, you got to stay healthy.
Well, yeah, let's assume he's healthy, though. Do you think he can break it?
I do. I do think he can.
He's got a consistency to him that I think that confidence now that he's won the Masters is there.
He's been in 3 straight majors. Like, he's had a chance to win 3 consecutive majors. He's playing really good golf right now, and as long as he stays healthy, I don't expect that to change. Russell Wilson, deadline tonight. How will the situation play out? 45% of you think they just keep him without a new deal. 30% of you think he gets that deal today, and 25% say they'll trade him. We asked what home team that lost game one is in the most trouble. 50% of you say Philly, 41% say Denver, only 9% say Toronto. I'm sticking with my Raptors for now. They better win tomorrow, though.
What if they fall 0-2?
I'm panicking. And then yesterday, quite the TV day. Which one did you enjoy the most?
This is an easy ranking for me.
Okay.
And it's not a knock on any of them.
Okay.
Tiger Woods won.
Me too.
I was at the Blazer game, so I'm going to Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones number 3 for you?
Because we disagree. We talked about the Game of Thrones thing. We won't spoil anything, but I thought Game of Thrones was good, not great.
We had a deep conversation before the show about episode 1. I, too, answered Tiger. So did the listeners. 48% of you said Tiger. 42% said Blazers. 10% said Game of Thrones.
It's a good idea. Maybe the Blazers can package Myers, Collins, and Evan Turner. Get the number 1 pick.
I like that idea for Zion. I'd be okay with that.
Now, has he signed with an agent, or is he going to test the water, Zion? Him and Peyton Pritchard?
Who wins tonight? Does Philly get a win?
No.
No, Nets go up 2-0.
No Embiid.
Brett Brown gets fired
mid-game,
mid-series.
Well, not only that, they could lose Tobias and Jimmy.
Okay, does Golden State cover the spread of 13.5?
Yes.
Okay, they play the Clippers.
They covered the last one.
Does Kevin Durant be a little B and get kicked out again?
Yes and no.
No.
He'll be a little B. He won't get kicked out again.
There you go. That was a fun Monday. If you missed any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan.
Whole bunch
of Tuesday leftovers tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have more. Game 2 is obviously tomorrow, so we'll have a bunch on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for being a part of our Monday, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.